Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
How do you help people get their product from Amazon into retail?
Well, so first we have an evaluation process that we recommend everybody goes through. They don't have to, but not every product can come off of Amazon and go right to retail. You know, there's pricing issues, packaging issues. It may, you know, some people on Amazon think that they have a brand, but they don't. They just have a product. And it takes more than a product to get into retail. You actually have to have a brand and a company, and you social. And I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, but this evaluation that we do, it's over 8 categories, and it's not something that you'll find out there online. It's my own. I used to just take my clients through it and they didn't even know. I would just classify them myself, and you come out with a score of 0 to 5. And so for people to come out with a score of 4 or 5, I know that they can seamlessly go right into retail. It should be not a problem at all. If they're less than a 4, they have some issues that they may have to deal with first. And if dealing with it doesn't take too long, we can kind of do it all simultaneously. So they can be working on that while we're building their strategy and so on. But it's most Amazon sellers that I've come across don't know if their product is good or not for retail. They don't know anything about retail. And so that's what we do, is we kind of explain it to them. And that really was when I started TLB Consulting, it was to educate people on retail and help them understand this big, vast, whether it's grocery or specialty or drugstore or club store, whatever it is, understand it. So we take them through this process and then we hand them back the evaluation and we make recommendations, and then they make a determination. Do they want to keep going? Are they a 1? And so they have like lots of work to do before they can even start. Are they a 3.5? So all they have to do is a couple things. And while we're putting their strategy together, they're good to go. I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe we can, this is one of our questions for you, is talking a little bit about that evaluation process. So can we explain kind of about that evaluation process so that our listeners can basically know, you know, when to call TLB Consulting for getting themselves into retail? Is there a good, quick kind of way to evaluate whether you're basically ready?
Yeah, so I don't think there's ever we put this evaluation in the field for 2 reasons. 1, because we had Amazon people. 2, I was still turning away a lot of people that I knew their products weren't ready, and I would just tell them, hey, your products aren't ready, and I felt bad. I'm not offering you any value. I'm not helping you in any way. And so this evaluation is also for people that have a product idea, or they have a product that's, they have product samples maybe, and they want to know, hey, what's my shot? What's my chances? And so we don't ever have to turn anybody away. Anybody that comes and says, hey, I have a product that I want to take to retail, a lot of times I'll say, well, let's do the evaluation first, see where you're at. And so the evaluation covers, these are the categories: product, packaging, pricing, competition, sales, marketing, logistics, and buyer contact. And so not all of these are weighted the same. So the 3, that I call them the 3 P's, which are product, packaging, and pricing, are all weighted as 20% of your overall score. Competition is 10%, sales and marketing are 15%, logistics is 10%, and buyer contact is 5%. So once we rate you on all those based on the overall weighted part of that, you get your overall score. And like I said, we never leave you, hey, you came in a 3. We always give you a full page of how you can raise your score. And these are the things that you can do to get to where you want to where you want to be.
So kind of like action points then, this and this. Tim, is it I would assume that packaging is probably one of the biggest issues, because a lot of people going into Amazon are using very basic packaging.
Well, so it's not an issue. It's where they're they don't even, a lot of times I just give them a zero because they have no packaging. They have a poly bag, or they have and they don't have any packaging started, or so they may get a zero on one of the top three. And of course that's going to drive you down, but all it is a phone call. I have three companies that I work with that do nothing but consumer-based retail packaging. And with one phone call, we can get that whole process started. So in less than 30 days, you can probably have full structured retail packaging, or three or four to even look at. So it doesn't mean that you're dead in the water. It just means that, yeah, they probably struggle. Yeah, so you're right. I mean, most people that come to us off Amazon, their packaging needs help.
But as far as one of the most important factors of retail, it really comes down to the product itself, and is it actually a unique product of some sort that's going to, you know, sell well in retail, and the pricing. If you don't have the margin, a lot of Amazon courses of private label sellers teach a 3x margin, and those folks
are we going there? Are
we going there? Yeah, we're going there. We're going there, Tim. We have to, right? Because
after that big long thing on your, yeah.
Yeah, it's a major consideration, right? And and we're always trying to encourage people, like, hey, you know, make sure that you have the margin, especially if you're going to launch a new product, that you have the margin to go to actually make some money and advertise and do all of that. But how does your margin affect you when you're trying to go into retail? So let's say you've got that unique product and you've sourced it and you've got some great, you know, yeah, okay, we can take care of packaging. But what does your margin need to be like? And then what are the considerations for the uniqueness of that product?
Yeah, all super great questions. So I will tell you, and I said it in my post in your Facebook group, which is margin is probably one of the biggest struggles people have that are coming off of Amazon, because there's two reasons. One, and I don't know whether you guys deal with this or not, but I deal with it all the time. Most of my clients that are on Amazon have no idea if they're making money, because there's so many parts that Amazon takes out of it, and they can come out of different buckets, maybe on your P&L. So, oh yeah, no, I'm making good money. Well, over here you have this advertising budget. This is crushing you. And that's not included in your overall margin. So they think that they have good margin, and they play this pricing game on Amazon where they keep lowering it. And here's something, and if everybody only hears this, please hear it and understand it. The price that you sell your product for on Amazon is your price. So if you constantly have it on sale, your sell price is your price. You can't sell it on sale at Amazon and then take it to a retailer. So you can't sell it on Amazon for $29 all day long every day, but then go and say, hey, my MSRP to a retailer is $39. Whatever you're selling it for on Amazon is your price, and that is what you're going to have to retail it for in retail. And so I think a lot of times when you're like this and all you're thinking about is Amazon, then you're like, hey, I'll just drop it another couple bucks and stay, you know, win the buy box because I'm the best price. And you start to erode your margin that way. And then something happens and you want to diversify and you become stuck. So one of the things that we do for all our clients kind of first, and one of the things that we do in this evaluation, is we do a pricing strategy across all the channels. Amazon is just one channel, people. One channel. You have club store, big box, specialty, grocery, drugstore, distributors. And so if you want to launch a product, if you're in the launching stage, let's say, let's do your pricing across all the channels and see where you have issues. And then you'll know when you're on Amazon, hey, how far can I bring my price down before I set a precedent and kill my chances all the way down the road? Now, if you're just doing retail arbitrage and you're just selling products and trying to make a quick profit and you're done with that product, okay. But if you're building a brand that's going to have longevity, then you have to look across all the channels and make sure it all works. Otherwise, you're kind of stuck, you know, and it doesn't work. I know I got off on a tangent there, and I'm not sure I even remember your original question.
Well, the other part.
Oh, the other part was.
the product, right? So what about the product is the most important? You know, I think we get that the margin, it doesn't necessarily have to be 7x, but the bottom line is we need to make sure we have enough margin to be able to sell through multiple channels so that we can scale our brand, right? So on the other side of things, what about the product? So is there something that we should be looking for when we're going to think about our product research and thinking about bringing a product to market? If we want to have that brand, what should we be thinking about for one or some of our products?
Yeah, so be in love with your customers. And you, by the way, are a customer. So be in love with your own knowledge of being a customer. Don't fall in love with your product per se. Be in love with the process of it or how great it is or the fact that it came out of your mind. Be in love with all of that. But take a look at it like you're your own consumer. And not your parents, by the way, because they're always going to tell you that it's good. You yourself. And so if you're going to bring a product into retail, understand that it's not, it's on a shelf. Okay. There's no video. There's no paragraphs of copy that you can pour through. There's just a product in a box or a bag or a peg on a shelf. And you have like 0.2 seconds to grab somebody's attention. What are you going to grab them with? So there's a couple of things, and it goes to packaging too, is, you know, and I always teach it in three ways. What does your packaging do to get the customer to stop? Then once they stop, what does it say that captivates them? And then once it captivates them, what's your call to action to get them to put it in their cart? If your packaging doesn't have all three of those things, you're not going to sell anything. And so part of the captivation has to be the unique, right? Why are they holding this? What's unique about it? And sometimes the unique is a cool customer testimonial. And the great thing, now, I know we're talking about all this doomsday stuff about coming off of Amazon. Let me tell you some of the great things that we skipped over, is your product is fully vetted. Once you've sold hundreds of items on Amazon and you've been through the customer reviews and you've tweaked the product and fixed the issues and they're loving it, okay, it used to take years for that in retail to get any kind of feedback at all. All the only feedback you could have is that it didn't sell and people wanted, the retailer wanted to return it. Now, before you even take it, you have hundreds of reviews and you know exactly what customers like about that. And they've told it to you. So take one of those cool statements and put it on your package or understand, read every review and understand what is the key things that they like about it, because the customers shopping in retail are no different. So if you find three things over the course of all your reviews that people love about your product, those are the three callouts that you need to make.
Yep.
And oh, Tim, you're looking like you're...
You just pointed out something that can be an absolute executable for our Amazon sellers and listeners right now. You said it's just on the shelf. That's exactly what your main photo is on Amazon. That is exactly what your main photo is on Amazon. When you search for something on Amazon, it's just a bunch of photos and a title, and that's all people are looking at. If you want to grab their attention, make awesome packaging that says those things, because you can't put text on your main photo, but you can show a package. And that package can draw them in and get them to buy your unique product. And so right then and there, if you're following Tim's guidelines for packaging, and for, you know, getting someone to stop in a store, if you can get them to stop in a store that's aligned with products, you can get them to click on your listing on Amazon when they're scrolling through.
Yeah, remember that any buy, whether you buy it on Amazon or buy it in a store, it's all emotional, right? And so the one thing that's really helped me, and I'm sure that this is like old hat for you guys, but in your callouts, you know, stop just listing these generic features and start talking about how the customer is going to feel when they use the product, how it's going to change things for them when they use the product. I mean, Amy, right? I mean, no more doing this with the cat litter pan, no more doing that. Those are emotional things. And it solves a problem. Remember, people respond to problem solving. And I used to preach this when I was on the floor in retail, in the weeds. You know, if you can solve a problem, the customer leaving without that product is difficult, because they're going to get in the car and say, the problem that I have still exists because I didn't buy the product. So, Yeah. So to answer your question, in retail, you know, it has to be unique. It has to, you know, say something. And there's all different kinds of ways to do that. But just a better product and a better price is not going to get it for you too. You have to build up the other aspects of your company.
I love that. So people that are already out there and selling well and doing great things and people love their products, they might be ready to diversify and get that, you know, the reach a little further. So that's kind of an exciting thing for, I know some people to think about, and others, they're perfectly fine just staying on Amazon and, you know, and that's okay too, but it's,
yeah, and there's never there's never a bad time to have an evaluation, right? Because maybe your 5-year plan is to get your products and move them into retail. But what are you going to focus on in those 5 years? Are you going to wait 5 years and then find out that you have something that takes a year to deal with? Or should you find out now? It's not, I mean, it doesn't hurt. Like I said, we have people that come to us with ideas. You know, they just went to Canton Fair or whatever, and they talk to a bunch of people. They have like 5 different samples coming to them or 5 different products. And they want to know, you know, which ones make most sense.
Yes, exactly. That's why I'm excited about your mastermind, because I got these 28 products on my wall right now. And I'm like, I'm gonna figure out which ones are my winners and kind of go from there. So that's really exciting. So I guess, you know, this question, we've kind of already covered it, but specifically, what advice would you give sellers that are just starting out on Amazon? Like what would you kind of tell them from a perspective of the bigger picture?
Well, I think you say it all the time, right? Percentage wise, Amazon's still a super small percentage of retail. And it's this unbelievable tool because it allows people to create something and get it in front of people so quickly. But you still have to know what you're doing. And so I guess the piece of advice I would say, if you're getting on Amazon, it's more than just getting your listing up. It's like a website that you don't advertise. Nobody's going to find your listing on Amazon if you don't do some key things. And, you know, if you don't optimize your listing, if you don't optimize your title, if you don't try to, you know, do brand registry and protect your, I just have a, one of my clients yesterday told me he's part of the new transparency program. And so Amazon's continually growing, but if you don't know what you're doing, find somebody who does, because that person, Amy or Andy, or listening to this podcast or being a part of their group, can save you hundreds of hours of time trying to figure this stuff out on your own. And you can be spending hundreds of hours thinking up new products and talking to your manufacturer. You don't have to figure it out. There's people that have already done that for you. So don't be afraid to spend a little bit of money on people helping you cut some of this time down so that you get to make money. And not only that, but when I opened my first business, my own business was some franchise stores. And every mistake I made cost me like $5,000. I used to call it the $5,000 rule, the 5K rule. Because there's nobody I could go to say, you know, this or that. And I won't get into what all those were, but they all cost me at least $5,000. And I would have done anything. Looking back, if somebody would have just come alongside me and said, yeah, don't do that. Yeah, you're going to want to do that way, because that's going to cost you money. And don't do that. And that would have really helped me out. So the biggest piece of advice I can give is, first of all, don't be scared not to do it because nobody's going to buy it. You know, don't be scared to try something new. People are doing it every day. Don't think that retail is the big bad wolf. I talked about that on your Facebook group, and I hear people say it all the time. Oh, they crush them, and Walmart crushed this person and crushed that. They only crush people that don't know what they're doing. And they don't crush them on purpose. They just get crushed in the sea of, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I didn't know what I read, and I didn't know what I signed. So learn what you're doing, take some courses, get yourself educated, and go rock it, I guess, is my advice.
So speaking of rocking it, can you give us a story of somebody who started on Amazon and who scaled into retail and what that looked like for them?
Well, I mean, I have stories about a lot of people that came from Amazon and scaled into retail. I'm trying to think of one that really stands out. Probably, and I'm under NDAs for a lot of these people, so I can't give you the exact. But this was a one of them was a bug repellent company that was on Amazon doing well. The cool thing about their product was that was, of course, it was all natural, but it really was. And these guys had started like in the South, you know, where bugs are bad and, you know, bugs are biblical. And you know what I'm talking about, 'cause you live in Texas, right? So whenever you read in Revelations about the bugs with legs, and I mean, that's because we've been in Louisiana and Florida and Texas, we know what real bugs are. And so these guys had started there in the boating industry and went into Amazon, and then I took them into Costco, and they went into Costco and did incredibly well here in the States, but did great in Puerto Rico with Costco. And then we went from there into a bunch of specialty retailers, maybe 200-300 specialty retailers across the U.S.
Oh, wow. So when you think of that many channels, I mean, I didn't even think of Costco in Puerto Rico. Like, I don't know. I'm so like focused on the U.S. right now.
That's Puerto Rico is, it's harder to get it there, but I mean, Puerto Rico is still part of the U.S., but people don't think of it because it has its own, Puerto Rico has its own regional office, just like there's a regional office in San Diego that handles, you know, San Diego and Hawaii and,
You're in those 400 channels, I mean, that's a significant multiplier for your business and your revenue.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, wow. And then it helps you launch, you know, the cool thing about it is cash flow does is help you launch new products.
Yeah.
You know, we went on to launch a bite burn product, which worked phenomenally well. You know, you spray it on a burn and it takes the burn out of it. But it was hard, you know, there's parts to it, 'cause we had to create PDQs that's one that I was really happy with. And, remember talking to the buyer, I remember the buyer saying to me at Costco, well, it didn't do as well as off. I'm like, did you just say that to me? 'Cause I don't know, off has been around since Jesus time. It's been around so long. And were you expecting this product to do as well as off? No, come on. But they always have to find something. It didn't do as well as off.
Okay. Oh, that's funny. Well, I mean, we would love to hear about, you know, let's hear about what you've got going on and how people can find you, Tim, and how people can, if they are interested, how they can get involved in your masterminds.
Yeah. So there's two things coming up mastermind wise. One is we have another mastermind coming up in June, and I would very much like to, steer it toward mostly people that are interested in getting their products from Amazon into retail. So everybody, you know, the cool thing about masterminds is that it's more than just me teaching. It's a collective people that are all trying to go the same way and do the same thing, and they learn from each other. And so the way I do a mastermind is we teach, then we do, and then we come back and we learn, and then we teach, and then we do, and we come back and we learn. And so this first one is going to start at the end of June, and I'll give you a link to that application process so you can put it in your show notes. And then we're also going to run a June mastermind class at the end of June. And this one is going to be on creating a strategy. So you would come to the class. It's a virtual, so it'll be held online. It'll be a half day, so between 3 and 4 hours. And you'll come with nothing, and you'll leave with a strategy to take your product to retail. So incredibly valuable. I'm super excited about that one. And so I'll also have a link for you for that one. And then if you want to find me on the shelf, you can find that On the Shelf podcast anywhere. We're pretty much on every platform. Fieldby Consulting is our website, which we're in the middle of revamping. And then ontheshelfnow.com is the actual website for the podcast. But and then eventually there'll be a mastermind website that's coming.
Awesome.
I love that name. That's a great name, Tim. I like the name of the podcast.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, I started that in 2015. So cool. You guys are on episode.
We're on 17, but we're growing really quickly. So one of the things I'm always pinging Amy being like, yeah, a reverse engineered, you know, I've got a big marketing SEO, of course, as you can see my my wall back here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty good at reverse engineering the iTunes algorithm. So needless to say, we're doing really well, really quickly.
Nice. And by the way, I do have a Facebook group. There's a Facebook group for the podcast called On the Shelf Now. There's also a closed group called On the Shelf Now. So, and you can go, you can join the Facebook. Well, actually, so I have a closed Facebook group called On the Shelf Now. Just go and hit join and you can get into that. But I also have a Facebook page for On the Shelf, which you can, it's called On the Shelf Now, and you can go like that and be part of that conversation. I just saw that question there. So,
awesome. How did I not know that, Tim?
What's
now,
that?
Now I'm going to stalk you on all areas of your life. Please, yeah. So, well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tim, for being with us today. I know our listeners are going to learn so much about, you know, the potential of expanding their brands and really building a brand. I think if we take anything from this episode, it's about when you're building your brand, put some thought into it and think about what your potential could be one day. You know, think about those hundreds of channels and think about, hey, you know, I can be on Amazon and I can validate my product on Amazon. I can do all of that with no barriers. But then after that, I can spread my wings and, you know, and fly, really fly. So that's an exciting thing to think about. And, you know, just the one story you gave us about this one small brand that makes a bug product that is now in hundreds of stores. That's just really, really cool. So
it is cool. And speaking of brands, just keep one thing in mind. This came from a gentleman I just interviewed that just came out today. But, you know, the word brand, I think, is diluted. You know, people just say, oh, it's a brand. It's a this, it's a that. And he says a brand is a promise that you make and how you keep that promise. And so, you know, when you're thinking about your brand, think about what am I promising my customers and am I keeping that promise? And in that is your brand.
I love that. Very
yeah, that's
cool.
Fantastic. All right, Timothy, thank you so much for joining us. And as usual, everybody, if you guys don't mind rating and reviewing us on all the major podcast platforms, we definitely would appreciate that. Make sure you go check out Tim's podcast. I have not checked it out yet, but it's definitely going to get added to my list. I'm starting to drive a lot more with our house hunting, so I have a lot more podcast time in the car. So I've been seeking new ones out, so I'm definitely going to check that out. Thank you so much, Tim.
Yeah, believe me. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And don't miss Amy's podcast coming out on Thursday, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I was on Tim's podcast just a couple weeks ago. And so that was really fun to talk about that. And we definitely mentioned our podcast there. So we're doing some cross podcasting. It's fun.
Indeed we are. Indeed we are.
All right, everybody, have a great day.
All right, take care, everyone. We'll see you next
time. Thanks, guys.
All right, bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com and amazingathome.com.